You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Today, it's always a Sunday to look forward to. And as much as we miss each one, we're grateful that we can continue to connect with one another on Sundays and beyond Sundays in our circles, in our communities, through our small groups. If you're not yet plugged into a small group or to a circle, let us know. messages@ics.church/connect. And we want to help you plug in, find a community to belong to, because life is beyond Sundays at ICS Church, and that's what God calls us to do as well. Last week, we started a new series called Getting What You Asked For. The title for today's message is Get Real. Get Real. The first time I met my wife, it was right here at ICS Church. She was 14. I was 17. I saw her, and I thought, man, this is a really beautiful girl, and I wanted to get to know her. That's the reason why she ended up being my wife. That didn't happen on that particular day. No, she was 14, I was 17. But that took a while to grow and develop. We're now celebrating, actually beyond that, about 20 plus years now. Married life, we're blessed with two kids. And it's a relationship that's probably one of the most intimate, if not the most intimate, in my life. All of us have relationships we long for like that. Am I right? Come on, if that's you, you're saying, hey, you know, I want a close relationship like that as well. That's something that I'm longing for. All of us want to be known, and all of us want to know others. That's just how God created us. We are social beings. We were created to connect with other people. And some of these relationships, it's limited to a transactional relationships where it's more of, you know, I need something from you, so because of that, I will relate to you based on that need. If you're hungry, right after this online stream today, some of you will pick up your phones and use an app to order food to be delivered. That's a transactional relationship. The person who delivers that food will come to your house, usually riding a motorcycle, at least here in Metro Manila. And you meet him, you actually know his name because of the app, you receive that package from them, and that ends your transaction, right? After that delivery, you don't go about texting one another anymore, messaging each other, calling each other, telling one another about how your day was, your triumphs, your struggles, your innermost difficulties. You don't do that with the person that just delivered a package to you, right? Unless you're married to that person. But for the most of us, we don't. That's a transaction that happens based on need. Then it ends. But we long for a relationship that's beyond transaction. We long for a relationship where we will be known and somebody that we could also express who we are beyond the transactions that we have. We don't know more about the person that delivered that package to us more than what they know about us, which is the name, the address, and probably the mobile number that was given on that app. And in many ways, this is how God wants to relate to us. He wants a relationship with us beyond a transactional relationship. We learned last week that as we approach God, we can actually approach Him with confidence. John, one of the disciples, wrote in his letter in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." He hears us. How confident are you that God hears you when you go to Him and talk to Him and pray? Some of us, depending on our relationship with Him, are more comfortable than others. Some of us are so confident that we know that God knows everything about us and we can tell Him anything and all issues that are taking place in our lives, whereas others don't even know where to start. Some of us actually probably may not even talk to God directly. We may want to look for somebody else to talk to God on our behalf because we don't know how to do it. We don't even know if He will even acknowledge us. But that is what God is wanting us to have. In fact, Jesus Himself, in one of His longest sermons that Matthew records, Matthew, a close disciple, a follower of Jesus when He was here on earth, saw, heard, and wrote down some of the things that Jesus said. And in a sermon, one of the longest sermons that he preached in chapter 7 of the Gospel of Matthew, this is what Matthew writes, quoting Jesus. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Jesus talking about the importance and how we're supposed to relate to God when it comes to prayer. He says you can just approach God and ask Him and He will answer you. You can knock on the door, this symbolic door of heaven, of relating to God, and this God will actually open that door. He will answer that door so that He can relate with you. For everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. He says here, everyone. Everyone. You don't have to be a particular ethnic group. You don't have to belong to a particular class in society. You don't have to learn a particular special language. Jesus is everyone. Everyone. He is open to everyone. And then He clarifies, how is that possible? How does that actually work out? What kind of relationship exists with God for this to happen? And he paints an illustration between a father and a child. He says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" Of course, the audience was primarily Jewish. Are probably looking at one another and they're saying, "Well, you know, we'll probably give him food. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" He follows it up with an illustration between a father and son. And he says, even the worst kind of father, if their son, their child, is hungry, would not give them something that's inedible. He would give them food to eat. Because even the worst fathers somehow will show kindness to their children. To this, they're probably nodding their heads and saying, "Yeah, you know, I mean, that's, you got to be really cruel to give stone to somebody that's hungry. You have to really be bad to give a snake to somebody who's asking for fish. I mean, a viper can actually even kill you." But your father, who is nothing like evil fathers, harsh fathers, he says, "How much more will your Father in heaven, who is good, who is kind, who is gracious, who is merciful, will give good gifts to those who ask Him?" Jesus, in this brief illustration, reveals to the listeners, reveals to those who are present, that the reason we can go and ask Him, the reason we can go and knock on His door, and the reason that He will answer us is because He is unlike harsh, unloving fathers. He's the opposite. He is a gracious, merciful, loving Father. But for many of us who may not have had that opportunity to experience a loving, merciful, gracious, earthly Father, this will be difficult to understand. And as we read in scriptures and even hear preachers talk about God as a loving Father or God as a Father, we may not want to know this Father because of our own experience or maybe what we've seen from our own earthly fathers. Regardless of our earthly experiences, Jesus reflects and teaches us that God is somebody who loves us. It's somebody who wants that relationship with us. And to understand this requires us getting to know Him more. For that young girl that was 14 to eventually say yes to becoming my wife, I had to intentionally pursue her. It didn't start with, you know, it started with me seeing her, but I had to make a move towards her direction to actually get to know her. I need to go beyond just dreaming about or wishful thinking, saying, I wish I know this person. I wish I would get to know her a bit more. No, I actually had to take a step in her direction, go to her, and eventually open my lips, speak, introduce myself, and ask her name. And it was there that the relationship began to grow. Our knowledge of and intimacy with God defines our relationship with Him. Our knowledge of God and our intimacy with God defines how we relate to Him. Your earthly father may be painting a kind of image that clouds, that blocks what God wants to impress and how He wants to relate to us. And somehow this is hindering the way that we're relating to our Heavenly Father. There may be other things as well that we want to talk about today that may hinder that. Proximity definitely affects familiarity, which ultimately affects our intimacy with God. That's true in our earthly relationships. That's true when it comes to our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father. Proximity affects familiarity. Unless we get close to God, then we won't be familiar with Him. If we only know God from what we've seen in movies, what we've heard other people say about Him, but we have never really taken a step in His direction, taken an effort to get to know Him personally ourselves, then that gives us a very limited view of who God, this Heavenly Father that Jesus is talking about, is. It's only when we move towards His direction, get too close to Him, that intimacy will begin to develop. The more we know God, the more our relationship grows. And God, in His way, made every effort to reveal Himself to us. All of creation exists today to display the glory of God, to reflect how amazing and awesome He is. We find this in scriptures that tells us. And God Himself made a way. After that close relationship, that intimate relationship was broken. You remember in the very beginning, we believe in a Christian worldview that God created the world that was without sin. And when He created man, man enjoyed this intimate relationship with Him. Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, it was so close that they would just have a conversation with God. Anytime, whatever it was happening, God was present, and man could just converse with Him. But because of sin that penetrated all of creation, there was now a chasm, a huge divide that separated all of creation and man's relationship that he once enjoyed, that was intimate, that was close, was now divided, was now distant because of sin. And all throughout human history, we find God taking the initiative to restore that which was lost. He calls a people to Himself. He calls Abraham out of his own people, and He births through Abraham later on the nation of Israel. This was His way to show to the world, this is how much I love you. I'm going to call a people for Myself to show to you how much I love you, to communicate to the world how much He loves us. He raises prophets to be His mouthpieces to tell people how much He loves them. He raises priests so that these individuals could come on behalf of people, because again, the sin was so great, people couldn't directly approach God. And so priests were called up to stand on behalf of the people to God. Kings were raised up to show the might and the glory of God. And ultimately, God Himself would penetrate human history to be made like you and me, in the flesh. His name was Jesus of Nazareth. This was probably one of the most intimate expressions of God wanting to, again, show to us how close He wanted to be with us and even beyond that, Jesus breathing the Spirit into his disciples and ultimately sending the Holy Spirit to fill the lives of the individuals who would choose to put their trust and faith in him, wanting God to reside in each one of us. Throughout history, we find God the Father revealing his love for us. But somehow, because of what we have learned, because of our experience, we have a tendency to forget how much God loves us, and we don't know how to relate to him as Father. And in Jesus' teaching right here, in chapter 7 of Matthew, he is reminding the listeners, hey, he still wants that intimate and close relationship. In fact, that's the reason why I'm here, Jesus present, because familiarity affects that intimacy. The disciples saw the love of God through the person of Jesus while he was here on earth, as they spoke with him, spent time with him, and ultimately Jesus expressing that on the cross, the love of God crucified on the cross, paying for our sin, the one thing that separated us from God, finally covered through the sacrifice of Jesus. That as we put our faith and trust in Christ, we actually now have direct access to our Heavenly Father. We don't have to go to any other person. There is no intermediary. There is no one else that can prevent us or hold us back from relating to our Heavenly Father. Jesus invites us to relate to him. And so how do we go about doing that? And here in a chapter earlier, in chapter 6, Jesus teaches and preaches to the listeners, try to attempt to explain to them, this is how you can now begin to approach our Heavenly Father. And first of all, in verse 1 in chapter 6, he says here, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. You see, there was a problem that many people were facing right now with the many rituals that was instructed to them in approaching their Heavenly Father to try to atone for their sins, to pay for their sins so that they could be forgiven and enjoy that relationship. A lot of this was lost in ritual. So that even when Jesus was already present and revealing the love of the Father to those who were there around him, many of them refused to recognize it, did not recognize it at all, and missed that this was what God, the loving Heavenly Father, was wanting to do from the very beginning. When he taught and instituted the law to Moses, all these rituals, the sacrifices, this was God's way of showing to them that I still want a relationship with you. But for some of them, it was lost in the ritual. Do you know sometimes that happens to us? We begin a particular action or activity and we get lost in the activity. If you've been doing something for so long that you forget why you actually do it. No, we've done it this way because that's how it's always been done, but not knowing why you're actually doing what it is that you're doing. Family traditions, that's been done. We don't understand why that was done, but it's always just been done. And for the Jews, there were some things they were doing that was lost. And here Jesus begins to talk about it. The issue of prayer, even of giving to the poor, the spiritual act of fasting, some of these things had been lost in the process. And here Jesus reminds them, hey, you guys are doing these acts of righteousness, of rituals in front of others, and your purpose is you're giving to the poor, not because you love them, you want to help them, it's because it's to show off, to show to the people, like, look how righteous I am. look how good I am because of these acts. You're praying, and you're not praying to get to know God. You're praying publicly so that others hear you because you want the acclaim of other people. You're fasting, and you're not even making it a secret because you're not fasting to know God's purpose, to get closer to God. You're fasting to show other people, look at how righteous I am, how good I am, how religious I am. And some of them were missing that point. We're missing the purpose for which God instructed the nation of Israel, the Jews, to do what they were supposed to do. God instructed them to give to the poor because He loves them. It wasn't about status. It wasn't about, you know, because you're wealthier, it means you're more blessed. There was that kind of perception. And so if I give a handout, then that makes me a blesser to them. But they were doing this to be seen by other people. And Jesus was saying, no, God is no respecter of person. It's not about your wealth that defines the blessing or the presence of God. Some of them were praying personal, private prayers that was supposed to be between them and God, and yet they were praying aloud for everybody to hear, expressing false humility, false repentance, because ultimately it's not about you and them. What do they have to do with your sin? It's about you and God. And in fasting, it was the same way. And so Jesus begins to instruct them, when you give, you don't have to make a show of it, because you're giving out of your obedience to me. It should be out of love, out of generosity. When you pray, verses 5 to 6, nobody else needs to hear your personal prayers, because that's between you and me. And Jesus specifically instructs them, when you pray, do not be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do this towards me. This has to be the reason why you're doing what you're doing. So Jesus says, you know what? You need to get real. Don't pretend. When we approach our Heavenly Father, He already knows. The things that we're doing needs to be done towards Him. Otherwise, we're no different than anybody else. Our reward needs to be God, not what people say. We're going to do this to get their attention. No, it has to be towards the Lord. And Jesus continues on. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. The surrounding other non-Jewish religious that were present also had a sacrificial system. And they had a particular way. They recited mantras, particular words and phrases that they were supposed to say. And if you say it so many times, or if you say it enough, then it is only then they believe that eventually their God with a small g would hear them. You know, Artemis, Diana, Zeus. It was only then that they would be heard. He says, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. This is the beauty about our Heavenly Father. Again, Jesus says, He is your Father. We need to know that when we come to Him, we need to be real. We don't have to pretend. Because He already knows what's going on in our hearts. At the same time, when we approach Him, we need to know that He already knows. He already knows what we carry. He already knows what our concerns are. He already knows what our needs are. Don't you love it when you have a father, a parent who is like that? You know, our kids, we love our kids. And over time, the more you get to know your children, you get to know their quirks, the good and the bad. One of the things is, you know, they end up having favorites. And so whenever we go to the supermarket, right, to grocer, even if they don't ask us, we see something that they like, we buy it. even though it's not requested. And the moment we get home, surprise, surprise, you know, they come and they say, hey, did you guys buy this and that? Even if they didn't ask us. And you pull it out of the bag and you says, yes, I bought it. And you see the joy and the glee because they know, even if I didn't ask, my dad remembered, my parents remembered. And you feel loved, you feel like, man, they thought about us. Even if they didn't request it, it was already there. And this is how good our Heavenly Father is. God, Jesus telling the disciples, hey, even if you don't ask, you know what? Your Heavenly Father already knows. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to keep repeating over and over and over and over again because you already know. Why? Because that's what a loving Father does. Sometimes we're afraid because of these things and we feel like, you know, I have to perform for God. Some of these guys, some of these Jewish believers thought in a similar way. They were beginning to adopt the pagan way of thinking when it came to their relationship with their Heavenly Father. The beauty with our Heavenly Father is not like the fake gods or fake idols, where sometimes they would impose requirements for God to actually even to begin to listen to us, to consider us, let alone to grant us what we desire. And sometimes it doesn't help, right? It doesn't help if our own earthly fathers have treated us that way, growing up or as children. We bring that mentality with us when it comes to our relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, sometimes harsh fathers would say, okay, hey, if you do this, 1, 2, 3, 4, then you will get what you want, what you desire. And so we get diligently doing it, whether it's academic, behavior, attitude, doing chores at home. We do it with all our best and we give our all efforts and we come to our Father and we say, look, I did it, here's my grade, here's what I've done, and we offer it to them. And this Father, who didn't have any intention of giving what we were wanting, what we desire, tells us, well, you know what, you're still not getting it. What? All of that effort. You said, this is what you said, and I did it, and you still did not. And it's harsh, it's cruel. And for some of us who've grown up that way, we think, man, maybe God is like this. As a father, maybe he's like this. And just like other pagans, other non-Jewish believers, and those who didn't understand this, they were thinking, you know, I'm just going to copy what they're doing. Maybe if I jump high enough, God will hear me. You know, if I just do these rituals, then he will begin to acknowledge me. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't have to do that. Your Father already knows what you need, even before you come to him. Why? Because he's all-knowing. He's omniscient. And he's a good God. And so how are we supposed to approach him then? If we're not supposed to jump through hoops, if we're not supposed to fill certain requirements, check boxes, do things, how are we supposed to do it? And Jesus, in verse 9, this is then how you're supposed to approach God. This is then how you're supposed to talk to God. And he says, this is how you're supposed to pray. You're supposed to say, our Father. And the word that he uses here is one of the most intimate words that's used to address a father. It's dad. And he says, you're supposed to talk to him as dad, dad in heaven. Dad in heaven, this is how you're supposed to talk to him. Come to him with reverence and honor. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Come to him recognizing that he is great. Yes. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come to him knowing that his will is more important than your own. Come to him with your needs. Give us today our daily breads. Yes, really? Is God concerned about those things? Yeah, Jesus said it. He said, come to him and tell him what you need, your basic needs. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Make sure you come to him knowing that, hey, it's about holiness and righteousness. It's about following him. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. When we come to him, we need to understand it's a spiritual relationship. That this is something that we need. You don't need to pretend. Jesus says, you don't need to pretend that you have it all together. You don't need to pretend that you're good. See, a lot of times we find it difficult to relate to our Heavenly Father because we feel we have to put on a particular way of doing things. And so, you know what? It's Sunday today, so I'm going to be in my best behavior. Why? Because it's Sunday. It's the Lord's day. I'm going to put on my best clothes. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be kind to other people because it's Sunday. But what about from Monday to Saturday? What happens? Do we start to grow horns and grow a tail and our demeanor changes, our approach changes? Because we feel it's just Sunday that we need to do that. And Jesus here is saying, you know what? You don't need to pretend. I know that you're struggling through some things. I know that life gets difficult. You don't have to pretend with me. You may be able to pretend with other people that you're good and everything's okay. You're a good Christian. But you know what? I see through that. And I don't want pretense. That's not who I am. I'm a good father. I'm a gracious father. I'm a merciful father. I'm a loving father. You don't need to pretend with me. And when you come to me, you know what? I already know. It's important for us to know that God already knows. We need to know that God already knows. He knows our struggles. He knows our needs. We need to know that He already knows even before we open our lips. But you say, well, why do I need to talk to Him then? Why do I even need to begin to open my mouth? If He already knows, it's for our benefit. Because the more we relate to Him, the more our faith is built up. Our confidence in Him is built up. Our faith and trust in Him is built up. And one of the things that I love, when my kids were younger, I take them to school. They were preschool. Leave them there for a couple of hours. And, you know, to us, it's like 4 hours. But when you come to pick them up, it seems like, you know what, you were gone for years. Because when your child, my child, my daughter, my son, sees me even as far as the gate, they see you, they lock eyes with you, and they shout, Daddy! And they come running towards you. And when they come, I pick them up, and we begin to talk about the day, what it was like, and they begin to tell me what their day was like. They begin to tell me that they're hungry, and this is what I want, this is what I want. And you as a father, you know, how could you not just respond with joy and kindness? And in many ways, you know, it was then when I became a father that I began to think about maybe this is how our Heavenly Father feels about us. Maybe this is how He wants us to relate to Him. Not to isolate Him to a ritual that happens once a week for an hour and a half, or to go through spiritual exercises that we think will impress Him, when in fact all He's saying is, I don't want you to pretend. I want you to be you. I created you. I know exactly what's going on in your heart, in your mind, and I love you. In fact, you haven't even done any single good thing, and I already chose to make a way to die for you so that we could have a closer and more intimate relationship. But sometimes it's easier for us, isn't it, right? It's easier for us to have something that is more tangible. If we can set for ourselves as men a checklist to say, if I can just follow this checklist, then I know that I've done it, right? We're having a conversation after an earlier service today, and one of the guys was saying, my brother was saying, you know, it's easy, it's more measurable if our Heavenly Father was here and He could just give approval, right? If we do something and they say, hey, okay, that's acceptable, that's good. But the fact that He is Spirit and we cannot see Him makes it a bit more challenging, right? But that doesn't diminish the fact that He still loves us. But as humans, sometimes that's what we want to do. Why? Because that's what we expect from others. I'll only show kindness to you. I'll only be good to you. I'll only pray to you if this is done. But God knows. God already knows. And even in our worst, He chooses to pursue us and to love us. And Jesus is saying, you know what? All you need to do is just ask. Just ask. And when we ask, He will answer. When we knock, He will open the door. Why? Because He's not a harsh Father. He's not a cruel Father. He's a good Father. He's a loving Father. He's a merciful Father. And when we come to Him in faith, when we run towards Him in confidence, He receives us. And He says, tell me about your day. What was it like? What were your victories? Tell me about your struggles. What's going on? I already know it, but I want to hear you express it to me. Why? So that I can respond to you. Because the prayers we never pray will never be answered. The requests we never make will never receive an answer to. Sometimes we wonder, why is it God already knows? Have we even asked? Have we even approached Him in faith? Have we even expressed anything? So Jesus said, just ask. Just ask. Because unless you ask, then you won't receive. When you knock, the door will be open. And the good thing is, you know, when He answers, He doesn't answer harshly. He may say yes, He may say wait, He may even say no. But you know, the answer that God always gives, because He's a good Father, it will always be for our good. It may not be what we want, but it may be what we need. He will always respond to us as a loving, good, merciful, gracious, heavenly Father. When He opens the door and we begin to relate to Him, it is there that we find Him. Our knowledge of God and our intimacy with God defines a relationship with Him. Today, don't hold back. God already made every way possible so that we could understand we don't need another human being to stand on our behalf so that our Heavenly Father can relate to us. We don't need to jump through hoops and to go through spiritual exercises for our Heavenly Father to sit down and hear our hearts, our triumphs, our struggles, our difficulties. No. He says, come as you are. Come as you are. In fact, I don't want you to pretend. I want you to be real. I want you to be you. And as you come to me with all that you are, not pretending to be somebody that you're not, but coming to me, relating to me, not just on Sundays because it's the Lord's Day, but on Mondays when it's a struggle, when you wake up in the morning, I want to know. I want to know what you're feeling. I want to know, God, our Father is saying, I want to know what your week is going to be like. I want to hear from you. I want to know what's weighing on your shoulders and your hearts. I want to celebrate with you those moments that are triumphant. And I want you to know that I'm still going to be there when you falter and when you fail and when you turn towards my direction. I will help you get back up because I'm a good Father. I'm a good Father. Today, may we get to know Him more than what we already know. I've been a Christian for a long time, and every day, God is continuing to reveal more of Himself to me. I'm getting to know Him more than I did before. And because of this, my life is enriched. My faith in Him is deeper. I have more confidence to go to Him because I know I don't need to pretend. I don't need to pretend. And some of you are watching at home right now. In fact, you didn't bother dressing up, right? Because you got up, you're at home anyway. Nobody's going to see you. It's not about Sunday best, you know. You're in pajamas. You're relaxed. You're listening. And God is right there in that room. And you didn't even have to dress up. He's with us. Tomorrow when we get up and it's not a Sunday, it's a Monday, God is there. And He's saying, take me with you. Don't leave me. After the stream ends, don't leave me behind. when you close your Bible, don't forget me, because I am with you. In fact, I love you so much, I sent my spirit to be in you. Our proximity to God allows us to grow more intimately with Him. And as we grow in intimacy, it is there that our life is enriched. It grows deeper. What would it be like if we actually do what Jesus instructs us to do when it comes to our relationship with our Heavenly Father? What if we actually begin to relate to Him as a loving dad? What if we actually think that, you know what, at the end of this worship service, God is still with me? What would we think? How would we interact with the people around us? How would we pray if we actually know that our Heavenly Father already knows what we need? But He longs just to hear us talk to Him, and so that we can experience Him tangibly in our life each day. What would change? What would change?
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.